Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. And I'll tell you the thing that Washington, at least the official members of Congress, right now, really don't want you to know, and that's a bill that's wending its way through the House of Representatives. It's called the America Jobs Creation Act. And what it is, it's a huge bunch of pork, a huge bunch of corporate welfare to everyone that contributes to the Republican Party. I want to tell you in detail what this bill does and what we can do to stop it. This is the kind of thing that, surprisingly, gets very little news. You've probably heard about Enron, although I want to talk about Enron also, and how their traders were caught saying a bunch of very interesting things on the telephone. We're going to play for you some of those tapes and tell you some of the things they've been saying this hour. And also, I want to talk, of course, about Halliburton, Dick Cheney's old company, the company that Dick Cheney said that he wasn't told anything about when he got those no-bid contracts by the U.S. government. But in fact, it appears that Cheney once again lied to us. I know it's so surprising to think that our vice president could ever lie to us, what with the 9/11 commission saying he lied about connections between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, what with lying about weapons of mass destruction, lying about Valerie Plame. You know, this guy, yeah, he's got a truth problem. But today I want to talk about corporate corruption, corporate kickbacks. We found that the companies that give billions of dollars, millions of dollars to the Republicans, they get billions of dollars in return. In fact, it's quite a nice return on their investment. They get sometimes 100 times back. Of course, Enron was the largest single contributor to the Bush campaign, and we're going to talk in detail about what Enron got back and how it is that they have admitted, at least in secretly recorded phone conversations, that they were ripping off the California energy consumer. And we're going to talk about Halliburton, sort of the favorite company, but it's just an example of the $150 billion that we're giving away in corporate welfare. Now, $150 billion, that's a large number, and it might be hard to understand just how big that is. Let's put it this way. You've heard all the Republicans complain about welfare payments to the poor. They don't think that a woman with four children struggling hard to feed them should be able to get any money from the government. Well, the entire budget, the entire annual budget for welfare payments to the poor is $50 billion. And now, in one bill that's going to be passed on the House floor today, unless you, my friendly listeners, you do something to stop it, that bill would give three times that amount, $150 billion, to corporations, your tax money going to corporations to do what? Well, to bring jobs offshore. I'm not kidding you. It sounds too hard to believe. With all the complaints about outsourcing, with all the complaints about all these jobs going to India, the House of Representatives, controlled by the Republicans, has a great idea. Let's encourage businesses to take more jobs offshore. You see, we have too many jobs in the United States, too many people with work, too many Americans who are happy, too many poor Americans that, they're doing too well. We have to make poor Americans worse off. And so this bill, called, ironically, the American Jobs Creation Act, is designed, believe it or not, to help companies export jobs abroad. And I want to let you know the details of it because, you know, this is the kind of thing that, frankly, you're not going to read about much in your daily newspaper. And if you do, you might just hear a couple words about it. I want to explore in detail. I mean, I don't have time to go over all 400 pages of the House bill, all 900 pages of the Senate bill. But at least I want to give you an idea of some of the goodies that are in this bill, some of the things that lobbyists get when they pay their Republican members of Congress. You know, it's a lot cheaper to own a member of Congress today than it is to actually work and be productive. I mean, building a factory, that can cost hundreds of millions of dollars. But you can buy a congressman today for about $3 million. To put a congressman in your pocket, you know, to go. Now, senators, a little more expensive. Senators can cost up to $8 to $10 million. But still, it's a lot cheaper to buy your senator, to buy your member of Congress, than it is to actually build a factory and be productive. And this bill, which is on the House floor today, can only be stopped if a bunch of you call your member of Congress. And I'm going to give out that number at the end of the hour and hopefully get you all to call in. It's just one phone call to your member of Congress to get them to stop this incredible pork. And again, not many people are reporting this. I didn't see a single word about this bill in the Washington Post today. And that's, you know, that's the newspaper of record in Washington, D.C. I turned on CNN, not a word. And yet, This is public information. I mean, certainly those of us here in Washington who've worked on the Hill, we know all about it. The people who don't know about it, you, Americans. That's why I'm giving you the inside scoop. And I expect to call in at some point this hour Representative Pete Stark. He's a congressman from California. He's the second-ranking Democratic member on the Ways and Means Committee, the committee that's supposed to handle tax breaks. And he's going to call in and tell us a little bit more about this bill and also take your calls. And if you want to call, you want to get information on this bill or what's going on with Enron and Halliburton, I want to discuss them too. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send me an email by sending an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And I hope you do call in because this is important. It's important that you understand what's going on here because what we have is an administration beholden to corporations. Now, I know you know this. I know you've heard it many, many times. Oh, the Bush administration is owned by corporations. But here are the facts. That's what we give you here on the Inside Scoop. We give you the facts, not just a bunch of spin. We give you the facts so that you know precisely how corporations are beholden to this administration, how they give this administration cash. And in return, the administration gives them taxpayer dollars. And not just the administration, but the Republican Congress as well. Let's talk first about this American Jobs Creation Act. Okay? In the Senate, it's 900 pages long. In the House, it's 400 pages long. Let's find out what it does. All right? It's a fair question. First of all, I should let you know that the bill was just released this morning, and the House is going to vote on it this evening. So it's kind of hard to read 400 pages of detailed tax information one day, but that's all the Republicans give their members to vote. See, if you actually read the bill, you might understand what's in it. You might vote against it. This way you can say, hey, I didn't have a chance to read the bill. Tom DeLay, the Republicans don't allow members of Congress a chance to read bills before they vote on them because that would imply democracy, right? That would actually be democratic. It would give people a chance to read the bill and actually this way they can tell their constituents, oh, I didn't get a chance to read it. But let's look about what we know is in the bill, okay? The primary thing that it does is it helps corporations bring jobs abroad. I mean, it's amazing. No, it doesn't just not – I mean, we already have tax breaks for corporations to bring jobs offshore. Did you know that? In fact, what's interesting is that if we were to end all taxation of corporations that put jobs abroad, we would actually gain $5 billion a year because the exceptions to this rule about taxing companies that bring jobs abroad are so large and the incentives are so large that they actually make $5 billion a year. By sending jobs abroad. Well, this would increase it. This would increase it another $5 billion a year. This would double the reward for companies to move jobs offshore. Let me explain how this bill came about, because I think it's a good example of what goes on in Washington and part of what we can do here on the Inside Scoop. Basically, there was an illegal tax break. The United States has signed various trade treaties with a number of countries abroad, mostly in Europe, but not exclusively. And those trade treaties say that you have to compete fairly, basically. You can trade things, but we can't put tariffs, and the French can't put tariffs, and the English can't, and so forth. It protects fair trade. They're not enough, but they're good as far as they go. And there's an organization called the World Trade Organization that acts like an international court. It's their job to see what tax breaks we're giving to our corporations, what tax breaks other countries are giving, and find out whether they're fair. Well, the World Trade Organization ruled that we had about $4 billion given in tax breaks already to overseas corporations, and that those were unfair, and therefore, because it was a violation of the treaty, Europeans could charge us huge taxes and tariffs. And so we needed to get rid of those unfair tax breaks, and everyone agreed to do that. But instead of just getting rid of those $4 billion a year in tax breaks, we've given this $150 billion a year, $150 billion, three times all welfare to the poor, $150 billion in all kinds of wonderful benefits to companies. And let's talk about some of the companies that get the benefits, all right? We have cruise ship operators get a special benefit, foreign gamblers. That's right. If you gamble in Monte Carlo, you should get a tax benefit. After all, you're Monte Carlo gambler. These are the kinds of people that America really wants to help. And so your tax dollars are going to a good cause, foreign gamblers. Also, NASCAR track owners. Yep, people who run race car tracks clearly deserve a special break in the tax code. I mean, you know, waitresses who pay Social Security, they don't get a tax cut. But NASCAR track owners, they're so deserving. Who else is so deserving in this bill? Insurers. Gotta help the insurance companies. After all, they make huge profits and they charge huge premiums. They need a little more help. Timber companies. We have to help timber companies. You know, we gotta cut down more trees and ruin more environment and they need our help. Who else needs help? Cattle ranchers. Cattle ranchers. Movie theater owners. I guess they're not doing well enough. Manufacturers of small planes. And people who make bow and arrow sets. This is my particular favorite. You know, I really feel for those poor bow and arrow manufacturers. Apparently, people aren't buying enough bows and arrows these days. You know, back in the time when we were fighting the Indians, well, lots of people used bows and arrows. But today, people aren't buying them so much anymore. So we need a tax break. We gotta help out those poor bow and arrow manufacturers. Otherwise, we just won't have archery in America anymore. Who else? People who make fishing tackle boxes. That's right, not the fishing tackle, but the fishing tackle boxes. They need a special break. They need a taxpayer break. This isn't welfare, folks. This is a way to help big business. We need more fish tackle boxes. And so, yes, they get a subsidy as well under the $150 billion. What else? What else? Well, of course, tax breaks for energy companies. They get $2 billion more a year. We all know the oil companies need help. They need help. And we're going to talk later on in the hour about Enron and Halliburton, all the wonderful benefits we're giving them. But energy companies are getting even more, just $2 billion. Just, you know, give them the $2 billion. I should note, by the way, just to compare, that we Democrats proposed $4 billion to buy up loose nukes in the former Soviet Union, to keep the people in Uzbekistan and Russia and Ukraine and Belarus from selling nuclear weapons to terrorists, to the highest market. Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of the people who are selling nuclear weapons on the black market, but I'd much rather we buy them than Osama bin Laden, a person who, well, we really haven't had time to kill because we've been too busy fighting the war in Iraq. But Bush said, no, that's too expensive. Spending $4 billion to buy up loose nukes abroad, too expensive, Democrats. I reject your proposal. But he's giving $2 billion to energy companies in this $150 billion pork barrel bill that, like I said, you can stop. You can stop if you call your member of Congress after I'm done. And I want when this show ends at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, I want the Capitol switchboard to be so full of calls that the line is busy and that you have to keep calling. But for now, I want you to call me at 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you want to know details about this bill or what's going on with Enron and Halliburton, or you just want to know how the congressional system works, how it is that we have legalized bribery here in Congress, here in Washington. Now, I realize it's legal, so some people say I shouldn't call it bribery. I think bribery is bribery, and I don't care whether it's legal or not. If you pay a member of Congress $1 million to his campaign and expect to get $100 million in taxpayer money in return, that's bribery in my book, and it continues to go on. The campaign finance laws McCain-Feingold's done some, but clearly not enough. And it continues, and it continues in bills like this pork bill. But that's not all, folks. That's not all. There's also tax breaks for bourbon distillers. Now, I like bourbon as much as the next guy. I'm a big fan of Jack Daniels. But I just don't think they need tax breaks. I actually think people will continue to buy bourbon even without this pork from Congress. Am I crazy? Another thing they're doing, this is one of my favorite little things, is you probably know, depending on whatever state you live in, that if you have a state that has income tax, you get to deduct it on your federal income tax. The idea is you shouldn't be paying twice. So if you have to pay a tax to New York or Virginia, wherever you live, California, then the idea is you have to pay the tax, but at least you deduct it from your income. It's not considered income, and that's a deduction on your federal income tax. That makes sense. I have no problem with that. But you know what? In Texas, poor Texans, Texas, they don't have an income tax. That's why they don't fund education. That's why they have so much pollution in Texas. That's why Texas has such big difference between rich and poor. Well, they don't have an income tax in Texas, and so they don't get the privilege of deducting that income tax that they don't have from their federal income tax. Well, Texans say that is unfair. It's not fair that New Yorkers get to deduct a tax they actually paid, where we don't get to deduct a tax that we never paid. And so in this bill, in this pork, is a provision to actually allow people in Texas to deduct state and local taxes that they never have to pay. It's Orwellian. It's amazing, and it's getting no press outside here on the Inside Scoop. What else is in this bill? Well, we've got stock options for high-tech industries. You remember all those stock options that built up the huge stock market that created the corporate bubble that people, that Republicans complain about. Well, the problem with stock options, what are stock options? They're basically the idea that wherever the price is, let's say the price is going up and down, which it often does, they're going to give you, let's say the price is 20 bucks a share. So they give you a stock option to buy at 20 bucks a share, and then the price dips to 10. Well, then they exchange those and give you one to buy at 10. And then it drifts to 4. They give you one to buy at 4. Then it goes back up to 20. Well, you exercise your stock option. No risk. There's no risk when you're a Republican investing. There's no risk. You get that money from the corporation. Just free, 16 bucks a share. That's how they pay people. Well, that's bad enough as it is, but Republicans don't think you should have to pay taxes on it. You see, if you're making money hand over fist by manipulating the market, you shouldn't have to pay tax on that. That's a good thing, right? That's what the Republicans seem to think. And another one of my favorite things in this $150 billion pork bill is getting no press. We're giving $2 billion a year to tobacco farmers for the right not to get subsidies later. Did you catch that? It's a little confusing. $2 billion a year to tobacco farmers so that they won't get subsidies in the future. Now, of course, in the future, all we have to do is change that and still give them more tax subsidies. As I mentioned one time when we talked about tobacco and smoking in bars, I said, my father actually has a little bit of land that he gets money for not growing tobacco, and he thinks it's ridiculous. He gets like $20 something a year for not growing tobacco, and as I argue, my father does a very good job. He never grows tobacco on this property. It's ridiculous. So we are subsidizing people to make a crop that kills 400,000 Americans a year. That's even more than subsidizing gun owners. What else does this bill do? Well, we're going to lower corporate income tax by 10% for any company engaged in manufacturing. What's manufacturing? Well, movie studios, farmers, any small business that makes less than $20 million in profit a year. Less than 20 million, that's a small business. It makes less than $20 million in profit a year. You know, I remember when George Bush wanted to cut dividends. And when people said, well, you know what, only rich people invest in dividends. I mean, they're the people who aren't working for a living. I mean, poor people work for a living, middle-class people, upper-middle-class people. They work, they get income from their boss, whether self-employed or working for somebody else. But dividends are money you get for doing no work at all. They're money you get for being wealthy, right? I mean, that's what you do. You put your money in an investment, and you get dividends for being wealthy. And, and don't get me wrong, lots of Americans have stock, and that's fine. But wealthy people have thousands of times the money getting back from dividend as your average middle class person. Well, George Bush said that we're going to cut the tax on dividends to give this huge tax break to the wealthy. And we're not doing it because we want to help the wealthy. No, no, no. We are doing it because we don't want corporations to be double taxed. The argument the Republicans made was, hey, if we tax corporations, okay, and then we tax the dividends they give people, that's a double tax. So we're going to end the tax on dividends, and now we're going to end the tax on corporations. Hey, George, I know you don't want double tax, but would single tax be okay with you? And finally, and most importantly, as I mentioned, the billions of dollars given to companies to bring jobs abroad. That's right. Actually giving them money to bring jobs abroad. The way this bill works is if you go to a high tax country, we are going to pay those taxes for you. We're going to actually pay France those taxes, or I don't mean to pick on France, any country that pays high taxes, we're going to pay. And if you have low taxes, you can use these wonderful little expensing tricks to also not pay taxes. And here's a question for you to call in, 877-57-SCOOP. What percentage of United States corporations don't pay any tax at all? What percentage of American corporations don't pay any tax at all? The answer may surprise you. We're going to talk about that. Who loses tax breaks? Well, farmers do. Farmers who export lose tax breaks, I guess because their jobs are here, because you really can't export a farm job. You know, you can outsource people who give computer information, but it's really hard to outsource somebody picking fruit in California or threshing wheat in Kansas. But farmers lose those tax benefits. You know, it's interesting to me that in all this discussion when Ronald Reagan died about all that he did, one of the good things that he did was to simplify the tax code. Now, he didn't do that originally. Originally, he just gave a huge tax break. But when he saw the massive deficits that were in the 80s, he did backtrack, and in 1986, he actually simplified the tax code. Well, this bill alone adds 424 pages to the tax code. Not exactly very simple. This is all about loopholes. This is all about helping rich people to avoid paying taxes. And of course helping people that make bows and arrows too, because that's really important. Oh, also native whaling tribes. Native whaling tribes. Gotta get their tax credit. And if you do your own taxes, you get a 25% kickback if you do the IRS's job. It's an amazing bill. And as I said, I expect Pete Stark to come on. He's a congressman from California. I expect him to come on the air later in this hour and tell us how the bill's going on the floor, answer your questions. Again, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some other corporate corruptions. We're going to talk about Enron and Halliburton, two of our favorite companies, and what they're doing to steal your money. Back with more of The Inside Scoop right after this.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And we've talked at length about a bill that's on the floor of the House today. Actually, it'll probably be tonight you need to know about. And in fact, I'll tell you what the House does. The Republican leadership in the House wants to make sure that all controversial bills are done late Thursday night. This bill, I expect, mark my words, let's see how wrong I am. I expect this bill to be passed sometime between midnight and 3 a.m. tonight. And I'll tell you why. If you pass a bill on Thursday night between midnight and 3 a.m., really early Friday morning, then it won't get in the papers on Friday. That's just after the publishing deadlines, which tend to be about 10 or 11 the night before. So it won't get in the paper on Friday. Then it can get in the paper on Saturday. Now, Saturday is the least read news of the week. You probably know. You probably read your Sunday paper, and you read your Monday through Friday paper. But the Saturday paper is by far, anyone will tell you, anyone in the newspaper industry, it's the least read paper of the day. It's also the least news day. People tend to watch news Monday through Friday, and then often on Sunday. But Saturday, they're usually out and not watching the news. And by the time it comes up Saturday morning, think about it, the news is already 36 hours old. I mean, you get your paper Saturday at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m., and this passed, you know, late Thursday night, early Friday morning at midnight. So the news is 36 hours old. So, well, since newspapers like news that's fresh, the news will likely be on page A26 or something in some small box, and you won't get the kind of detail that I'm giving you right now. So it's all done. In fact, the Republicans admit this. What's interesting is that they don't deny that the reason they do things in the middle of Thursday night is because it is least likely to get news. And when they're raping U.S. taxpayers, well, they don't want many people to know about it. As I said, I hope that Congressman Pete Stark is going to join me. I don't know when he is, because he is right now chairing a hearing at the Health Subcommittee of the House Ways and Means Committee. In fact, he is the ranking Democrat on that House Subcommittee, so he's got a very important job to do. He's got to oversee that meeting, and that's very important. That's going on right now. But he did say that on a break he was going to try to call in. Hopefully he'll make it, and we'll be able to ask him some questions about the bill. I really appreciate, frankly, him taking any time at all when Congress is in session. It's very hard to get a member of Congress to come on the radio, and I appreciate just the fact that he's going to try. But before we go on about the bill, and I should note, let me just read one quick email that I got from Angel. And by the way, you can send an email anytime you want to comment at radioinsidescoop.com, and I'll try to read it on the air. Again, the sooner you send your email, the more likely I am to read it on the air, just like the sooner you call in an hour at 877-57-SCOOP, the more likely you are to make it on the program. 877-577-2667, 877-57-SCOOP. But Angel writes in her email about this. It says, sounds like most of those tax cuts are helping out those in the South. NASCAR, bows and arrows. That's a good point, Angel. I guess I hadn't really thought about that, but sure, given that the Republicans' base today is in the South. The South, of course, has totally switched from being a Democratic stronghold to a Republican stronghold when the Democrats switched from being the party against civil rights to the party for civil rights. The Republicans have their base in the South, and I think you're right, Angel. I don't think NASCAR is that popular in urban areas, and neither are bows and arrows. I just don't see too many archery contests in New York City. So I think you have a point. Obviously, the pork goes to the businesses that support the Republicans. And the only way to stop it, of course, is to elect a Democratic majority this fall. But Angel goes on to write, how do you stop this bill? Who can I contact? It would be too late right now to contact my congressman. Absolutely not, Angel. It is definitely not too late. As I said, the bill will be passed tonight. They wouldn't dare pass it in the light of day. If you pass it right now at 3:30, it would be on the evening news at 6. It would be in tomorrow's newspaper, which is Friday. I guarantee you. I know how this works, Angel. I've been there. I've been in Congress. I know how it works. They wouldn't dare pass this bill in the light of day. They're going to pass this bill late tonight as the light shines over the Capitol, over the Potomac. I've seen it many times. That's where when they're going to pass this bill. What that means is you'll have plenty of time following my broadcast to call in to talk to your member of Congress. If they're a Democrat, they should be voting against it, but you better make sure they're voting against it, because sometimes one of the things they do in these pork bills is they'll get, you know, 95% of the Republicans on board, and they'll still be a few votes short. And that's when the fun begins. That's when, at midnight, they start twisting the arms, and they start saying, well, in your district, you have a plant that makes bows and arrows, or I don't care, you know, banana cream pies, anything. We're going to have a subsidy for banana cream pies that will help your district, since you're the largest factory that makes banana cream pies in Podunk, Oregon. Sorry, Oregon. No attack on Oregon there. But the point is, they'll just pick any district, and they'll give little goodies, and they'll try to turn Democrats. So you not when you call your member of Congress, if it's a Democrat, you ask him or her, and you'll probably talk to staff, but that's fine. You ask that staff, you say, is my representative committed to voting against this bill? And hopefully they'll say yes. And then you say, now, even if they offer some goodie at the end to my district, is my member of Congress still committed to voting against this bill? You get a firm yes. All right? Now, if you got a Republican, then you say, are you voting for or against this bill? And if they say, I'm not sure or whatever, say, well, look, you should be an American before you're a Republican. You should be an American first. Our deficit is huge. We have a $500 billion deficit. Clinton had $230 billion in surplus, and George Bush in 4 years has taken us to a $500 billion deficit. All right? We don't need another $150 billion added to the deficit that American taxpayers have to pay back, that our kids and grandkids have to pay back. This isn't free money, folks. We all have to pay it back. And frankly, I think the money should rather go to helping kids go to college than helping bow and arrow manufacturers. Again, I got nothing against archery, but don't we believe in the free market? I mean, whatever happened to capitalism? We Democrats support the free market. I thought Republicans did. I thought they claimed to. They claimed to not be socialists. They claimed to be capitalists. Well, then why shouldn't bow and arrow manufacturers sell their product, make a profit, and be fine with it? Why do they need a special tax break? Or NASCAR owners, or timber companies, or cattle ranchers, or my favorite, foreign gamblers. Foreign gamblers. There's a tax break in the bill for foreign gamblers. I don't even know how this works. I guess a guy from Sierra Leone goes into Monte Carlo and puts $1,000 down on craps, loses his money, and then cries and gets a tax break from American taxpayers? Foreign gamblers? Not even American gamblers? Foreign gamblers? What do you think about this bill? Why are they allowed to do this? I mean, is it just that I tell you why I think. I think it's because Americans don't know about it. And that's why they're allowed to do it, because people aren't following this like I am, like some of you are. They're just not following the bill. The press certainly isn't doing their job. And so this thing just goes right in under the cover. And again, that's what we try to do, is provide you the inside scoop on all of this. I want to move on after the break and talk about Enron, because you probably remember that Enron was accused of manipulating California energy prices in the early part of this decade. I remember it well, because I remember Bush denying it. I remember that Enron executive Ken Lay gave more than $1 million to George Bush's campaign. The largest single donation to Bush's campaign came from Enron, this energy company based in Houston. And what did they do? They manipulated energy prices to make sure that people in California paid huge amounts of money. See, the way it works in the energy world, of course, is you have gas and energy bought and sold, electricity bought and sold at spot rates. And these rates can change every second, all right? It's not like they change every day. They change every second or every 10 seconds. So if you can make a little artificial crisis where there's a shortage of energy, you can raise those prices from, you know, a buck a kilowatt to 27 bucks a kilowatt. I don't know the exact prices, but your point is you can raise it 10, 20 times what it was and rape California consumers. And those of you in California, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you can call in and let me know how help for your energy bill. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. But you know that in early 2000, 2001, 2002, your prices just skyrocketed. And when it happened, I remember everyone complained. They blamed Governor Gray Davis. They said the Republicans said, oh, California doesn't have enough energy plants. And, oh, it's pollution control that stopped it. And the Democrats said, no, it's Enron. It's all Enron. And they're getting help from the Bush administration. And the Bush administration denied it. They said Enron has nothing to do with it. It just has to do with California's faulty planning. Get rid of that poor governor, Governor Davis. But when we come back from break, I'm going to play for you some actual phone calls from Enron executives. Yes, folks, we have found the smoking gun. And they have not only admitted what they've done in conversations that they didn't know were being recorded, but they made fun of the Californians that they were ripping off. And we're going to play those tapes for you and take your calls right after the break. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. Call in or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And we'll be back with more right after this.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
24 current and former firefighters for the city of Orlando, Florida, will share in a $600,000 settlement stemming from a lawsuit involving their medical records. All of the firefighters had the results of employer-conducted medical tests withheld from them, tests which revealed that they had chronic life-threatening diseases like hepatitis C. The reason? The city didn't want to end up paying for expensive lifetime treatments, further burdening Orlando's city budget. As part of the settlement, the city of Orlando admits no wrongdoing.
This week saw the one-year anniversary of a strike by workers at the Congress Hotel in Chicago. 130 housekeeping, maintenance, and service workers walked off the job last June after the hotel's owners imposed a significant wage cut, froze their health benefits, and warned that workers either take the deal or face layoffs. At a rally Tuesday, several hundred people augmented picket lines outside the hotel, and 15 were arrested for blocking traffic on Michigan Avenue during the afternoon rush hour. Congress Hotel Management and Hotel Employees Restaurant Employees Union Local 1 will meet again later this month in hopes of restarting negotiations to break the impasse.
It was the bloodiest attack of the year so far in Colombia. Earlier this week, a paramilitary force went to a coca farm, rounded up more than 36 farm workers, and mowed them down with automatic weapons fire. At least 34 were killed and several more wounded. Coca leaves are the primary ingredient in the production of cocaine, but it's not clear just who owns this particular farm and why it was targeted.
Tables have turned for writers at the country's biggest pro-business newspaper. Reporters at the Wall Street Journal withheld their bylines on Wednesday and Thursday of this week in protest over stalled contract negotiations with the journal's parent, Dow Jones & Company. Overseas reporters, however, are still running their bylines as they're not included in the union's contract. Writers want the journal to increase wages and limit health care costs. Dow Jones and Company are threatening to walk away from the table and impose a punitive contract. More talks are scheduled for Friday.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And as promised, Congressman Pete Stark has called in to talk about this awful bill that I've been spending most of the half hour talking about. So we'll get on to Enron in about 15 minutes, but I want to spend this time talking about the so-called Jobs Creation Act and also taking your calls at 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Congressman Stark, thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
You're most welcome, Mark.
Tell me about this bill. Is it going to pass?
Well, it passed the House this afternoon.
It did pass.
It did with about 50 or 60 Democratic votes and probably only 20 Republican nays. So it passed with a substantial bipartisan margin.
Well, you're embarrassing me because I told them it would be done in the middle of the night because I know most of the bills passed are usually passed in the middle of Thursday night.
This one was easier to do because it was passed under what we call martial law. It's reminiscent somewhat of Germany in the pre-World War II days.
How does that work?
There were no amendments allowed.
No amendments.
There was 1 hour of debate, equally divided, I might say. That was quite nice of them. So we got to talk for a half an hour on each side, no amendments, and then you cut the vote up or down.
They actually gave you a whole half hour.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this.
During that half hour, they managed to reduce corporate taxes by about $78 billion, and that's important because almost over half of U.S. corporations don't pay any taxes already,
That's right.
This may increase that club.
Plus, I know that bow and arrow manufacturers get a special benefit.
You better believe it. They got $9 million for bows and arrows and $4 million for sonar fishing devices that they use.
And my favorite was foreign gamblers actually get a benefit here. I read that.
They may very well. I guess that's subject to some interpretation.
Okay.
But there's tobacco. There was an almost $10 billion buyout for our tobacco-growing friends in southern Maryland and Virginia. Those were mostly the Democrats who voted for the bill.
So that's what I figured they'd do. They gave some pork to some Democrats to get them to vote.
They either had tobacco growers or a lot of secondhand smoke in their district. And so.
Is anybody talking about this apart from me? I mean, I haven't seen – there was nothing in the Washington Post today. Not a word.
There was, yes. I mean, yes, it's quite clear that this was a bill. It was necessitated, we are told, because of a subsidy we have given exporters. And the World Trade Organization had the right to penalize us by raising tariffs on American products that were shipped abroad because this was considered an unfair subsidy, and I agree with the World Trade Organization. So they canceled the subsidy, and they felt obligated for some reason to repay these companies for these subsidies, which I voted against almost 25 years ago and was put in. So
yeah, but I understand that the subsidies
to buy votes, they just handed out special interest goodies and loopholes around, and they were able to buy a lot of votes with the tobacco buyout, which really had no business in the tax bill. So.
As I understand it, it was some $4 billion, this illegal subsidy by the World Trade Organization, but the bill itself was $150 billion. Are those numbers right?
It came out to a net cost of actually only $35 billion, if that's an only $35 billion, because there may have been some pickup in revenue. But they gave away an awful lot of money, and it was heralded as a jobs creation bill when most of the subsidies will encourage companies to produce overseas and outsource jobs out of our country.
Explain to our listeners how the bill helps companies create jobs abroad rather than here in America.
Well, basically what it does is give subsidies or tax benefits to companies who manufacture offshore and don't bring the profits back into the United States. So they're allowed to, as long as they don't bring the money into this country, they can keep reinvesting overseas and build factories and do all those other sorts of things.
Let me get this straight. So a company goes abroad to,
General Motors goes to Canada,
right,
and builds Impalas in Canada.
Okay.
And the profits it makes, it could ship those Impalas back into our country or sell them in Canada or wherever anybody will buy them. And as long as they don't bring the dollars back into the United States, put them in a United States bank, they don't pay any tax.
So that's actually an incentive to keep the money from coming back to the United States.
That's right, and it's a benefit to those people who will export. It doesn't help jobs here very much.
Not only does it not help jobs here, I think it would encourage companies to go abroad, not necessarily maybe to Canada, but maybe to Mexico
or
Thailand.
Where the weather's, it couldn't get much warmer than it is here today, but if they wanted to go to the Caribbean, there were some special for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands got $430 million or $169 million for rum products, so... I suppose they're going to get free rum for a while in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. That could be kind of nice.
Now, Congressman Stark, I know that one of the technical things that the Democrats do when they try to head off a bill is they do something called a motion to recommit,
right,
which I can explain to our listeners. Basically, it's a Democratic alternative. In other words, they don't like the bill, so they provide an alternative. I'd be curious to know what the vote was, I guess, on the overall bill and on the motion to recommit. Was it pretty much according to party, or
yes,
was there a lot of crossover?
It was almost party line on the motion to recommit, and our motion to recommit would have made it what we call paid for. It would not have caused an additional $34 billion in deficits, which I had my 8-year-old son on the floor with me today and just explained to my colleagues that he was the guy who was going to pay for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And his children.
Yeah, so the Democratic alternative had added nothing to the deficit.
Next to nothing, yes.
Okay. And
and as a matter of fact, when Ronald Reagan did his vaunted 1986 tax bill that lowered tax rates from 50% to 28%, his did not increase the deficit one dime. He paid for those rate cuts by closing loopholes. And now we're just doing the opposite. We're giving huge rate cuts and we're increasing loopholes. And this is just Ronald Reaganism turned on its head.
Did we get, I'm just curious, did we get 90% of Democrats voting for that alternative? 80%?
For the alternative, I'm going to guess we got 90% of
90%.
The Democrats.
90%. And how many Republicans voted for that alternative?
I don't think any.
Zero.
Right.
Zilch. So the so-called moderate Republicans, I mean the ones who, you know, fiscal Republicans claim to be fiscal conservatives. They're watching your money.
Your money go to their rich lobbyist friends who make large political contributions to the Republican Party. That's the money they're watching.
So there wasn't a single fiscal conservative Republican who said, I don't want to add to the deficit and vote against pork?
I don't know, but it was such a bad bill that it defies, and of course they wanted very little debate, and the less sunshine that filters through on this, the happier they'll be. One good piece of news is the Senate is being somewhat more sensible about this, and the disagreement between the House and the Senate may keep it from ever being written into law, or certainly in its present form, and that's the one bit of good news.
So people listening to this broadcast should know then it's not over. It's not like this bill is going to the president. The House and Senate still have to agree, and if you call your member of Congress, my listeners can still get this thing stopped.
Or
is that
more
right?
Importantly, call your senator,
okay,
because they have much more flexibility in how they vote.
Okay.
And I think you're going to find senators in the area much, much more receptive than perhaps members in the House. And I'd urge them to call their Senate office and register complaint about this bill for whatever reason they see fit.
Fair enough. And the bill is called America Job Creation Act. Is that
Isn't
an Orwellian
that
name?
The American Jobs Creation Act.
As it helps
HR
jobs abroad.
4520, and it's a bad bill, Mark.
Congressman, real quick, when did you get this bill? When did you first see the actual text to be voted on?
Oh, I've never really gone through the entire actual text. I guess we got it last. When did we go in? Monday night. We were here till midnight. We got it early Monday. Some of our staff may have gotten it late Friday.
The full thing, or was it changed up until the last minute?
Oh, it was changed in a lot of different ways, but I think the changes were not things that we weren't aware of, but we really couldn't even find out what was in it. I mean, you had a bill as thick as the Northern Virginia phone book, and going through that takes some time.
Last question. Is there any evidence that the companies that are being aided by this bill happen to be the same companies that gave political contributions to the people who put those things in this bill?
Oh, I'm sure that you could find a long trail of donations, and you would find substantially more Republican donations than Democrat donations on the companies that you can say are the real winners in this bill. And in some cases, I mean, like I think there's a thoroughbred racing horse, and I think you'll find that those people who have a lot of horse farms in their district will have received some funds, or the Republican members of the Ways and Means Committee receive funds from them. That shouldn't be surprising, but
well, I call it
clearly
legal.
Defined, and it wouldn't take a lot of research. When we have a campaign report due the end of this month, and if you match that against the people's interest in the bill, I think you find a lot of very close matches.
Yeah, I happen to call it legalized bribery, but that's my words, not yours.
That's all right.
Well, you might agree with that. Congressman Stark, I really appreciate your taking
Mark,
the time out from your hearing.
Be well. I've enjoyed being on, and I hope someday I can speak with you and your listeners more.
I would like that very much. Thank you again, Congressman Stark.
Take care.
Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. That was Congressman Pete Stark. I'm the second-ranking Democrat on the House Ways and Means Committee. I admit when I made a mistake, I predicted wrong. I predicted it would be done in the middle of tonight. I was wrong. Apparently, they felt like this was one they could actually do in the light of day, which is rare. I guess it just wasn't controversial enough. I guess people just expect pork to be normal, and so it wasn't controversial enough for them to hide it in the middle of the night, as they often do. So I'm sorry. I badly predicted it. I admit when I'm wrong about my predictions. But there is still a way to stop it, and that's the important thing. As Congressman Stark pointed out, the bill that the House passed is different from the bill that the Senate passed. Now, according to the Constitution, you cannot get a bill to become law unless everything is agreed on to a word, to a comma, by the House and the Senate. They have to agree identically. So when what happened here, the Senate passes one draft and the House passes another draft, they've got to compromise. And so they get together on something called a conference committee. And the way it works is each branch picks three people from each to get together, and it's two for the majority and one for the minority. So all that means is that there's going to be two House Republicans and one House Democrat and two Senate Republicans and one Senate Democrat all negotiating. Don't be surprised if the four Republicans outvote the two Democrats. And then they're going to agree on which parts of the bill to include. We've got to help those bow and arrow people. We've got to help those NASCAR track owners. They're going to agree on a text, and they're going to send it back to both the House and the Senate. That means, folks, there will be one more chance to vote on this. I got an email from one of the listeners who said, Mark, good person that I am, I just called Jennifer Dunn's office, and that she's a Republican representative in Washington State, and was told she voted for it and it already passed. Well, that's true, but you can still stop it. What you need to do is call your member of Congress and specifically call your senator, as Congressman Stark pointed out, because the minority in the Senate, the Democratic senators, actually have more power institutionally than the minority in the House. And tell your senator, tell your member of the House of Congress, under no circumstances should they vote for this bill. You don't care what comes out of committee. You don't think we need to add to the deficit to help bow and arrow owners, foreign gamblers, NASCAR traders, and tobacco farmers. Let capitalism work its magic and stop giving away all this corporate welfare at a time when the president is cutting, he's cutting funds for education. He's cutting funds for kids going to college, for Pell Grants. Can't have Pell Grants. Can't let American poor and middle-class kids go to college. Oh, no. Oh, no. We've got to give tax breaks to NASCAR owners and bow and arrow manufacturers. So I hope that when we're done with this show, you'll call in. I'll give you the number now. The congressional number is 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121, and I'll give it out again at the end of the broadcast so you don't have to call right now and interrupt the broadcast. But if you want to call in and talk with me about this, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. How do you think they're getting away with all of this, where campaign contributions actually turn out to be huge subsidies for the people who give the contributions? Now, we've only got a few minutes left. I do want to talk about Enron, because I promised I would. And I want to play for you. This is actually an excerpt from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, which I really enjoy. An excerpt that we have Jon Stewart commenting, but you have actual tapes, recordings of Enron traders talking about what they were doing in California. Now, remember, they've denied it all. The Bush administration denied it all. And the money stolen by California was so huge that it was larger than all the deficits that they blamed on Gray Davis and kicked him out and put in the Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. All of that, and Enron denies it. Listen to some of these tapes, of course, with commentary by one of my favorite commentators, Jon Stewart. The first, by the way, the first that you're going to hear is a discussion between two Enron traders.
He just f***ed California. He steals money from California to the tune of about a million.
Can we rephrase that?
Okay. He arbitrages the California market to the tune of $1 million or two a day.
Those greedy mother arbitragers. A lawyer for Enron defended the traders by saying, quote, "People at Enron sometimes talked like Barnacle Bill the Sailor." Yes. That's what's upsetting about their quote. The profanity. It's an interesting argument, although Barnacle Bill's preferred euphemism for stealing is, of course, arbitrage. But the lawyer also says the conversations were, quote, taken out of context. Oh, so maybe those traitors are good guys. Let's listen to this tape to hear Enron executives' reaction as they watched a deadly summer wildfire in California knock out power lines, causing energy prices to spike.
Burn, baby, burn. That's a beautiful thing.
How do you explain that one? Burn, baby, burn. Was that out of context? Perhaps they had prefaced that statement with, wouldn't we be douchebags if we said... Or perhaps your clients could have been watching the fire from Disco Inferno, perhaps. Well, if you still have any doubts as to just how greedy, rapacious, vulgar, and evil these people are, I give you this conversation between two traders discussing California's attempt to make Enron give back some of their illegal profits.
This taking all the money back from you guys? All the money you guys stole from those poor grandmothers of California?
Yeah, Grandma Millie, man.
Yeah, now she wants her money back for all the power you charged right up, jammed right up her for $250 a megawatt hour.
The only thing more heartbreaking, honestly, was the call placed by another Enron trader to Grandma Millie herself.
Hello?
Hi, is this Grandma Millie?
Yes, dear.
I'm taking your energy, bitch.
What? But I need energy to bake pies for the little orphans.
Well, your orphans can eat my ass.
Oh, dear Lord.
God can't help you now, you stupid old whore.
My hip just cracked from sadness.
Well, I hope you heard that well enough. The last, I don't think, was an accurate recording. But the others were. I mean, did you hear the joy in the voice of the trader as he said, burn, baby, burn? Let me give you the full quote. Now, let's talk about what's going on here. There's a wildfire in California, okay? People's property is being destroyed. People are fleeing for their lives. And what it does do, of course, is it reduces the ability of an electric transmission line to transmit electricity. That causes the spot prices to go up, and that causes huge amounts of money to go to Enron. So here's the full transcript. One person says, the magical word of the day is burn, baby, burn. What's happening? There's a fire under the core line. It's been derated from 45 to 2100. Really? Yup. Burn, baby, burn, they say together. That's a beautiful saying. Okay? They are very excited by that. But you got to remember, this is not just wildfires, right? These are people that are specifically doing this to make profits. And there's another conversation they have, maybe I'll have to go more into this tomorrow because I don't have time to finish it. But there's another conversation they have about how George Bush is going to help them do all this and how Ken Lay is going to be Secretary of State. Ken Lay, of course, being the CEO of Enron that gave Bush $1 million. One quote is, and I'll use F to be the four-letter word we all know so well, when this election comes, Bush will effing whack that effer man, speaking about Clinton. He won't effing play this price cap. I bet they impose a national price cap at $1,000. In other words, there won't be any price caps, and Enron will be able to rape consumers. You know what? This is important stuff. I'm going to read more of it tomorrow for you, a lot of these details. But you got to hear the crux of it, and I think John Stewart, in his inimitable way, really made it clear how much they're stealing. So Enron is just an example of what happened in the past. Ken Lay gave $1 million to George Bush, and Enron got rid of price caps, was allowed to rape California consumers to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And now we see the same is happening with the bill that we've been talking about today. Now, I've got a number of emails asking me for the name, number of the bill, so you can call in, and that's very important. The bill number is H.R. 4520. I don't know the bill number in the Senate, but it's really all you have to do is say the America Job Creation Bill. That's the title, America Job Creation. It's an Orwellian title if I've ever heard one. Say it's the America Job Creation Bill that was just passed by the House today. Everyone will know what you're talking about. If they don't, say, point me to a staffer who works on tax matters. They should know. And Congressman Pete Stark was right. The senators probably have more power than your member of Congress. Try them both. It's just three people to call. Here's the number, 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard. Every member of Congress, senator and House representatives, member, can be reached by that number. All you do is you call the number and you say, if you live in New York, Senator Hillary Clinton, if you live in California, Senator Barbara Boxer, just name your senator, name your representative. If you don't know who it is, you can look it up online. If you still don't know how to do it, send an email to me and I'll let you know how to do it. Just send it to markatradioinsidescoop.com. But call your member of Congress. This bill is not over yet. They did pass it today in the light of day, to my shock and chagrin. I guess they can do openly now what they only hid before. But they did pass in the light of the day, but it ain't over. Because the House and Senate bills are different, you too can stop this bill. Call the Capitol switchboard. End the pork. I don't care how much you love bows and arrows and tobacco. End this pork bill. Stop the Republicans from being these massive government spenders that they complain Democrats are. The number, the Capitol switchboard number, is 202-225-3121. And hey, if you like what we do on the Inside Scoop, do me a favor. Don't keep it a secret. This is Mark Levine, signing off.